Welcome and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Please press star one on your touch-tone phone. Also, today's conference is being recorded. SOST, you may begin.
Greetings. We'd like to start off by thanking all of you for taking the time to participate here in our first public webinar for the development of the upcoming decadal plan, Ocean Research in the Coming Decade. We want to leave the majority of the time for discussion with you and to provide you the opportunity to both ask questions and put forth feedback on the plan and the process. Before we get to that portion, we prepared a brief overview of the plan to provide hopefully enough information to help stimulate the following discussion. Before we get started, a few introductions. I'm Rick Murray, and I'm the Division Director of Ocean Sciences at the National Science Foundation, and I'm also one of the three co-chairs of the Subcommittee on Ocean Science and Technology, which is abbreviated as SOST, which is under the National Science and Technology Council. There are two other co-chairs. One is Richard Merrick, who is the Chief Science Advisory of NOAA Fisheries, and he's on the line with us as well. And the third co-chair, is Director of Science, is Fabien Laurier, who's a Senior Policy Advisor for the Office of Science and Technology Policy, OSTP. So the three co-chairs, in addition to our SOS staff, are here to provide you further description of the upcoming plan, answer any questions you may have, and take note of your comments. We are very well staffed at SOST. We have Roxanne Nicholas, who is our Chief of Staff, Jesse McGrath, who is a Policy Advisor, and we also usually have another NOAA Policy Advisor, but that position right now is in transition. So there's three co-chairs usually and three staff members because there's a lot of work that we do. So for the since the first Comprehensive National Ocean Research Priorities Plan was published in 2007, there's been a lot of changes. The ocean community has made great progress in advanced ocean technologies, discovered new marine species, observed and tracked unexpected environmental changes, and answered important questions about how the ocean works. More is now known about the ocean, its processes, and the life it contains than ever before. But obviously, there's still unknowns and challenges, and every day brings forth something new that we didn't know was there before. So we thought that now is an opportune time to examine what ocean research, technologies, innovations, and education and workforce development are needed to tackle local, regional, national, and global challenges that we now face. So along those lines, SOST is initiating development of an Ocean Research in the Coming Decade plan. The overall purpose is to provide up-to-date, cohesive, and strategic guidance for the federal ocean science and technology enterprise that's both informed by and in alignment with the ocean science and technology community and science-based information needs of resource managers, policymakers, educators, and stakeholders. Now, the plan may address multifaceted topics potentially relevant to polar, terrestrial, freshwater, atmospheric, engineering, and social research in the context of the oceans, because the focus, of course, is going to be on the ocean aspect of each topic included in the plan. Now, we are considering the term ocean, and this is an important point. The term ocean here includes the open ocean, coasts, estuaries, coastal watersheds, and the Great Lakes. Finally, for this point here, this upcoming plan is going to supersede that original Ocean Research Priorities Plan that was dated in 2007 and updated shortly thereafter. So this is going to be an entirely new plan. It's not just a refresh of the existing plan. So this plan will describe the most pressing research questions and most promising areas of opportunity within the ocean science and technology enterprise and set the stage for actions across federal agencies, yet also with non-federal entities to address societal needs and issues of national importance. So it's going to be guiding federal and other ocean sectors as they align resources and support to support the high-priority research goals and activities described in the plan. So in this sense, the plan may also be useful to inform activities of non-federal entities that support ocean research, including those activities coordinated with and complementary to federal efforts. So the key point here is when we look at topic matters, it's not going to be able to cover all ocean issues. It's going to capture pressing, current, and emergent areas that federal agencies and the ocean community identify as opportunities to make the most progress in advancing science, technology, and innovation for societal benefit in the coming decade. As a research-focused document, the plan is not going to be prescribing policies. That's not the point of the plan at all. It will emphasize research and related activities that will generate the information necessary to make sound decisions and promote effective policies. The target audience, as listed there, is almost an abbreviated listing, although there's a number of bullets, but it includes the public sector, scientists in the ocean, S&T, and related fields, private, for-profit sectors, environmental interest groups, other ocean stakeholders, international entities addressing ocean issues, and, of course, the general public. So hopefully you've seen – sorry, we're getting the next slide. So hopefully you've seen the prospectus that we released on October 28th. This prospectus outlines the purpose and intended uses of the plan, the proposed structure and content of the plan, how the plan will be developed and reviewed in terms of process, and opportunities for community and stakeholder engagement, such as this webinar. This document is intended to stimulate feedback from the public on the overall framing and content. Note, we're not seeking now input on the prospectus itself because it exists and is published, but the prospectus is intended to inform the public on the plan during the public input period. So as laid out in the prospectus, we're now going to walk through the proposed structure and broad outlines of potential contents of the plan. So the proposed plan structure begins with a set of guiding principles that aim to represent the qualities of the ocean science and technology research enterprise. As you can see here on this slide, these principles could include areas, you know, high-level areas such as education and workforce, inquiry and advancement, capabilities, capacity, and other aspects shown there. And we also encourage any other comments you might have on the list. This is the point of this public comment period, is these are, as you see here, ideas that the SOST has collectively come up with, but we're seeking public engagement to see which of these are most resonate with you folks, and also which ones might not resonate, and what other ones should be added to this list. So we encourage any comments on it at any level. So now moving into the proposed content of the plan, we are suggesting a set of societal themes that will provide the high-level impetus for ocean research topics included in the plan and essentially answer the basic question of, you know, why conduct ocean research? Similar to the list of guiding principles on the previous slide, there's a list here of the proposed societal themes that include, as examples, ensuring resource availability and sustainable use, conserving ocean ecosystems, or contributing to the economy and social well-being. This list is not final, and it's, again, it's meant to encourage discussion and feedback. Drilling down into the hierarchy, the plan will, we anticipate, continue to outline research goals that answer the question, what ocean research is needed to address those societal themes. The goals describe where interagency and intersector collaboration can yield significant advancement, utilization, and innovation in the ocean S&T enterprise to address critical areas of societal need. It's starting to, as you can see, it's starting to get more and more specific as we move down this list. As we've done on the previous slide, we have a list of proposed research goals. And these are suggested here not only for topic, but also to give an idea of the sense of scale and scope. But this list could include quantifying the role of the ocean in climate variability, predicting changing ocean conditions, informing societal responses under various management options. And again, this list is not final. and we're seeking your input to inform what the eventual plan will end up with. So each research goal would then be supported by still more focused research activities, some of which will be cross-cutting and needed to achieve multiple research goals. So some examples here include advancing observing and modeling capabilities, harnessing the data revolution to support ocean stewardship, fostering ocean workforce development. These activities, the research activities, will parse the research goals into actionable topic areas. They'll focus on understanding critical ocean processes and interactions, how those processes and interactions relate to health, safety, security, and overall national prosperity. Federal implementation of the plan is going to be based on and responsive to the research activities, as this is a SOST endeavor made with the federal agencies and is going to be used to guide federal agency activities in this regard. So research activities will be identified once the societal themes and research goals are determined and will be presented in the draft plan for public review. Again, public input is encouraged to address the suggested research activities for consideration in support of the goals. So to give you an example of these relationships between the different subsections that we've just sort of walked you through, a societal theme could be to clarify the ocean's role in Earth and atmospheric processes, and a nested research goal to address that theme would be to quantify the role of the ocean in climate variability, and a research activity to support that goal could be to, for example, advance modeling capabilities. So our public input period is now open until January 1st, several weeks from now, but we will continue to accept additional input throughout the plan development process. We're going to be developing the plan based on the input we receive from the public and folks like yourselves as well. Subject matter experts from the federal agencies represented on the subcommittee on SOST are going to be developing the draft as well as the final plan. We, SOST, are crafting criteria to guide which societal themes, research goals, and research activities ultimately are going to be included in this plan, and the authors from the federal agencies are going to be selected once the key sections of the plan have been identified. And again, that identification is going to be with your assistance. We're going to begin developing the draft plan in January, and we're going to release it for public comment, formal public comment, before ultimately releasing a final plan later in the year. So this public comment period now that we're having here as we're identifying topics and some broad structure is not the only public comment period. There'll be additional public comment period once a draft plan is put together. So in terms of engagement, SOST plans to engage academia, industry and for-profit entities, non-governmental organizations, local, state, tribal governments, stakeholders, the public, international ocean-related entities, other federal and non-federal sources. And we ask your help in assisting us expand our network of people and organizations that are aware of what's going on. Interested parties, as I said, will have multiple opportunities to provide input during the plan development process, including this request for information period that we just mentioned, the public comment period on the draft plan, and participation in community engagement activities such as meetings, webinars, and conferences, and I'll speak about that in just a second. Input from regional perspectives is also important to assure alignment and complementarity between the national view and issues most pressing to localities, states, and tribes. For example, we've received a number of comments from folks in the Great Lakes area, and that's just one of several types of regional perspectives that's going to be critical to include. Regional governance and coordinating entities will be engaged to help ensure this connectivity. We've confirmed town hall meetings at AGU, the American Geophysical Union meeting next week, for example, at NCSE, the Gulf of Mexico Oil Spill and Ecosystem Science Conference, AAAS, and ASLO, where we'll be giving public town halls very similar in structure and content to this webinar that we're doing right here. In addition, we also will be hosting some in-person meetings and other webinars that we'll make sure to circulate the details of as we finalize them. Now, as previously mentioned, our public information period at this stage is open now until January 1st. So we're inviting all interested parties to provide input relevant to this nation's ocean S&T enterprise. Suggestions directed towards how the plan should be structured and specific topic areas that should be considered for inclusion are particularly encouraged. Now, mechanically, we have a commenting website graciously worked on and provided through the USGCRP, the U.S. Global Change Research Program website. The link is provided here on this slide, and you can choose to submit individual comments as individuals representing yourself or your institution or in a group, and you have the ability to attach a document as well. We also here in the standard calendar block diagram have included a tentative schedule to give you an idea of our anticipated timeline throughout the plan development process. And you can see that there's only a little bit left of 2016 and there's a lot left of 2017, and our goal is to, we anticipate having this done in 2017. So once the public information period closes in January, we are going to be finalizing our writing teams from the federal agencies, and we will begin developing the draft plan. As I said earlier, we're going to have a formal public comment period to review that draft, and then a series of additional outreach events throughout this process to gather further public input that will be incorporated into the final plan. So our last slide here is, we've created an informational website about the plan that includes progress updates, draft materials for your review, instructions for how you can provide input, and other community engagement details. And that's the link as shown here. In addition, we have a general email account. It's the bottom one there, oceanresearchplan@nsf.gov, where you folks can submit comments or questions at any time throughout the plan development process. Okay, so that pretty much concludes where we are at this point. We hope that this has given you enough of a background to for y'all to begin asking questions or put forth some ideas on this plan. We thank you again for your time, and we're going to open the floor to you, and we look forward to hearing your input. And I'll also point out again that Richard Merrick, the other co-chair from NOAA Fisheries, is also available here with us, as is many of our staff members. So thank
you
very much.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Richard, I can hear you.
Okay.
Do you have anything you would like to add, Richard?
No, I think though it might be useful for you just to show the website again.
The website, as soon as the webinar concludes, it actually automatically sends everyone to the website.
Excellent. Okay. Good news.
Great. So, Ashley, I think we're going to turn it over to the Q&A session.
If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone, and please record your name clearly when prompted. One moment, please, for your first question. Again,
just
if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1, and please record your name clearly when prompted. One moment.
Just want to make sure we're all having active communications. We're not hearing any questions at this point here at headquarters.
Your first question comes from Beth Orcutt. Your line is open.
Hi, Beth.
Hi. This is Beth. Thank you for putting together this webinar. Just a quick question. At the very beginning, you mentioned that this is not being viewed as kind of a refresher of the 2007 plan that was also updated in 2013. Can you talk a little bit more about that? Are we supposed to be looking at this wholly new, or just revisiting those to see if they should change in scope.
Thank you for asking that, Beth. When we said it's not a refresher, it was, as you noted, revised in 2013. And we just wanted to be clear that this is not going to be a revision of that plan and therefore continuing with the same title, same structure, exact same content, et cetera, et cetera. I am sure that, or I would anticipate, that it's likely some of those points that are that were identified as important back then are still important and remain important in the future. But we're just going to be talking about putting together a completely different plan. Among other things, we anticipate our goal is to have this plan be shorter and be potentially restructured a little differently as we, you know, went through here. But we were just trying to draw a line there, just making it clear that this is not a revision of that document in that regard.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Paul Feddersen. Your line is open.
Hi, this is Falk Feddersen from Scripps Institution of Oceanography. My question was, you guys mentioned that that the SOFT, in consultation with federal agencies, will be putting together the next plan. And I was just wondering what federal agencies were going to be involved in this process.
So SOST is a subcommittee that consists of federal agencies that have significant ocean S&T interest. And so those are the federal agencies to which we are referring when we talk about federal agencies. SOST is composed entirely of those agencies. There's about 22 agencies and bureaus that are involved. So it's NOAA. Oh, I mean, I'm not going to be able to do them all off the top
of
my
head. Sure. Okay, so it's
NOAA, NASA, Navy,
NSF.
I just was wondering, is it just like NSF and NASA, or, you know, with the National Park Service and USGS and, you know?
USGS is actively represented on SOST.
Right.
But pretty much the agencies that you can come up with off the top of your head, plus probably 10 more that there's FDA is involved.
EPA, USDA, State Department. If they have an ocean science portfolio, you're supposed to be on the SOS.
Right.
But the most active members are the four N's, the NSF, NOAA, NASA, and the Navy.
If you're familiar with any of the interagency working groups that focus on many ocean-related matters, like the facilities and infrastructure, or the IWG on ocean acidification, or on harmful algal blooms, those are all SOST-based interagency working groups. So this is one and the same community in the federal family.
Okay, I will look that up.
And if you want some guidance on that, pop us an email at that address, and we can get you going in the right direction.
The Ocean Research Plan at NSF.gov.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Your next question comes from Jim Price. Your line is open.
Hello. Thank you. You've mentioned earlier climate change, and, of course, that's always going to be a big area of concern for many reasons, scientifically as well as practically. But I wanted to maybe also mention population pressure on the ocean in the form of changes in coastal areas from human habitat development, ocean habitat loss, and resource consumption.
That's an excellent suggestion, and that's exactly the sort of high-level, societal, relevant-type issues that we are hoping to capture in this plan. Thank you for making that comment.
Sure.
As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. Your next question comes from Paula Keener. Your line is open.
Thank you. This is Paula Keener with NOAA. Thank you for this informative webinar. I'm interested in the inclusion of international entities in this initiative. So if you could speak to potential approach, initial approach to include some international entities in this.
Sure. Richard, would you like to start on that or me, or you want to give it a shot?
Recognize this is a U.S. government initiative, so this will actually be, in the end, will be a U.S. government document. But ultimately, you cannot do that without recognizing that we have interactions internationally as well. So there will be discussion within the societal items as well as the research where connections would occur internationally. For example, with Europe, with Horizon 2020, it's really difficult not to recognize that that's there. And we need to connect with Europe in that regard.
And also, I'll chime in. I'll also add in, for example, ocean observatories and ocean observing. Clearly, there's a lot of international assets involved, and what the U.S. will plan to do will not be in a global vacuum. So we need to be aware of and informed by that global community.
Thank you.
And if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 and please record your name clearly when prompted. One moment, please, for your next question. Your next question comes from Robert Dickey. Your line is open.
Hello, this is Robert Dickey at the University of Texas Marine Science Institute. I was wondering if SOST was going to undertake any kind of a crosswalk of focal areas for different mission agencies engaged in ocean sciences and how that might develop into guidance for coordination.
Short answer to that, Bob, and hi, Bob. Short answer to that is yes, and that's part of the process of having the federal agencies themselves be SOS themselves and being the writers. Clearly, this federal plan that's going to result is going to be entirely consistent with the missions of various different agencies. So the short answer on that is yes.
Okay. Thanks, and thanks for putting this together.
You're welcome. So should I be answering that? Yeah. So we have a question that came in online, and we're going to read it out loud and then respond. So, Jesse, could you?
Sure. Containing nearly 20% of liquid water on Earth's surface, the Great Lakes are the largest continuous freshwater system in the world. NSF's OCE is mandated to fund science in these Great Lakes. What is the percentage of OCE funding that currently goes to support science of the Great Lakes? First question. Second question is, how will the new Ocean Research Plan invest in basic science, education, and outreach in the Great Lakes? And a note that says, we cannot count on funding by EPA and others that focus only on fixing the problems after the fact. We need significant commitment from NSF to better understand and track this precious binational resource.
So thank you for asking that question via the web. I don't know off the top of my head, speaking as Division Director of NSF's Ocean Sciences Division, I don't know off the top of my head the percent of OCE funding that currently goes to support Great Lakes science. I do know, of course, that we have supported various workshops most recently, and we do fund Great Lakes science. If you like, please reach out to me offline, and I'll be able to get you that number. Regarding how will the new Ocean Research Plan invest in basic science, education, and outreach in the Great Lakes, the answer there is that remains to be determined because we're in the process of developing this plan, and answering that question will be an important component of this plan, and it would be of great help if you and your colleagues were able to provide some well-articulated input regarding that specific question. So thank you for that. As I did mention earlier, I've already had some conversations with folks from the Great Lakes in the context of this plan development, and I look forward to receiving, or we look forward to receiving, still more input. We very specifically explicitly state our definition of what the ocean means in the prospectus as well as in all our outreach, including the open ocean, coast, estuaries, coastal watersheds, and the Great Lakes, because we also are aware of the sensitivity of this overall subject.
Okay, Ashley, we can turn it back over to you if there are questions coming in through you.
Your next question comes from John Miller. Your line is open.
Yeah, hi. John Miller from Stevens Institute of Technology. My question is, to what extent will this plan look to leverage some existing plans? And specifically, I'm thinking of American Shore and Beach Preservation Association coordinated the nearshore community to develop a nearshore research plan actually just about a year ago. So thinking great minds think alike, and the timing seems to be coincident that, at what point will these types of existing plans be incorporated into this, or will they? Or do we have to go back and comment specifically on all the individual things?
Richard, would you like that one, or me, or?
Well, I mean, there are other plans that are being developed, or have been recently developed, that we're aware of, but not all of them. So that it's useful for those out there to tell us about these other plans. But the goal would be that we should be incorporating recommendations where it's germane into this plan that we're developing as well.
For example, as you're probably aware, the National Academy of Sciences 2 years ago provided a very helpful plan called Sea Change, and that was from the National Academy of Sciences directly to NSF, Ocean Sciences Division. So it didn't include advice or input to any other federal agency, but there's certainly relevance and potential impact on other agencies. So there are a lot of more focused plans, as you just stated, and as Richard answered, we're welcome to all.
And as another example, the Consortium for Ocean Leadership is contemplating their own plan. We don't want to develop ours in isolation, so we've already started conversations with them to better understand what they'd be proposing as well. So we welcome alternative input to this from other plans.
Please let us know about which plans are out there, because we've got a pretty good list, but we might not have them all.
Great, thanks.
As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, R1, and please record your name clearly when prompted. One moment, please, for your next question.
Rick, one of the points you made earlier we need to reemphasize is that this is a long engagement period, and there are multiple times where people can engage. The goal here is to really try to draw out all these other issues that we could potentially miss. So there's this initial engagement period through the end of this calendar year, but that doesn't close out the engagement period. They'll continue through the spring, both in additional meetings as well as in the public comment on the draft report. We want this to be inclusive.
Our next question comes from Roletto. Your line is open.
Hi. I was wondering if you could tell us more about these, I guess you called it town hall meetings at AGU that's coming up.
Sure. Our town hall meeting is on Thursday at 6:15 in Moscone West, room number 2002. And I will be present, as will Jack Kay from NASA, and we'll give a brief talk and have a question and answer session very similar to this. But again, it's reaching out to that particular segment of the community. We'll also be at ASLO and several other conferences, but again, not just science conferences. We're going to be at or not just the large conferences like AGU and ASLO. We're reaching out to others as well.
And will you be accepting comments on the draft plan or what you have so far up on the web at that time, or is it just more informational that the plan is there and please comment on it?
We absolutely want your comments, and I reiterate that what's up on the web as a prospectus is a sort of straw man to help stimulate conversation, and there is no draft plan written yet, because this is exactly the point of trying to engage everybody to help guide us as to what will and will not be in the plan and its overall structure. So we're really, as Richard said, just starting off this engagement period to help us know what's going to go into the plan. In fact, this is the first webinar we've done, so we're finding this very fascinating process even from our side, as well as, I hope, your side.
Right. Thank you.
We do encourage folks, if they have comments, to enter them on to the USGCRP website. It's going to be a whole lot easier for us to deal with them if all the comments are there, rather than getting comments on written comments or oral comments at the listening sessions.
Can they see that?
Can share that.
Some more questions?
We have a question from Sarah Shen. How will the current political changes with the new president-elect, appointed lead of EPA, et cetera, affect SAS's ability to provide general support and funding for the priority areas of research?
Well, we can't answer that because there is no change in administration yet. And we, as federal agencies, are committed to our missions, our respective missions, and will be moving ahead as we can. And in fact, that's this process from SAS perspective started 9-10 months ago, before there was any outcome that was known, and is essentially independent of that, because the federal agencies have their missions that they are mandated to do, and so on. So we really can't get into that at this point in time.
We recognize, too, that part of the strategy for the timing here was that we wanted to be able to measure the interest in the research community as to what was really important for ocean priorities, so we could carry that into the new administration and be able to tell them, you know, what scientists, academics, our partners, and stakeholders feel is really important for research in the coming decade.
So we have another question that says, it's asking, how does SAST and NSF intend to better incorporate research priorities of tribal governments that have treaty ownership of the ocean and Great Lake resources, and how will federal agencies facilitate tribal co-research in these treaty areas? Let me think about that. Richard, do you want to try that?
Well, that's a two-part one. First one is, how do we incorporate science interests or research interests of tribal groups? That should be part of the comment period and should be incorporated into the plan. Then how do federal agencies actually implement that is another question, and that's going to vary with federal agencies and actually by region. So for NOAA, I'm assuming that we're going to have a fair amount of Arctic research that's going to come back from Native Alaskan groups. Those will be passed back to NOAA, and that would be an important part of the research program that we would anticipate for the future decade. Wildlife Service or NSF could be very different, but this will
right.
be NOAA will take this very seriously.
That's right. An additional question is, to what degree do you think this plan will actually direct the allocation of science funding to specific research areas, including new and more relevant areas of research? What's the mechanism by which funding will be allocated to specific research areas? The first part of that question, to what degree do we think this will actually direct the allocation of science funding, that's going to be dependent on every agency. This is trying to identify commonalities, also trying to identify overarching societal goals, activities, and so on. But could you leave the question up so I can see it? Thanks. So I think it would certainly it's going to influence where resources are placed, but the wording, you know, will direct the allocation of science funding. That is going to be left up to each different agency as part of their federal budget building and internal decision-making process. And so that's also somewhat the answer to the second part of the question, which is what's the mechanism by which funding is going to be allocated to specific research areas. Again, that's going to be very different from agency to agency. There's certain congressional mandates and mission-specific obligations. Certainly within NSF, our core mission is basic research and technology and education in the ocean areas. So our implementation mechanism, just for one example, will be quite different from, say, BOEM or NOAA or ONR. But the overall arching goal of the plan, therefore, is to identify and give some context and help inform the agencies as they're developing their own internal budgetary and strategic planning.
So to supplement that, my vision here would be that this will help shape the president's budget request over subsequent years. Probably the earliest effect would be on the FY19 budget. And it would affect it in two ways. One is it would be providing guidance to individual ocean agencies as to what the White House thinks are important science priorities. And secondly, insofar as OMB, the Office of Management and Budget, and OSTP, the Office of Science and Technology Policy, view budget submissions from the agencies, this gives them an opportunity to see what are the high priority science items. So it gives OMB something to compare against. Now, how the Hill would view this is totally separate. This would be a White House document. Hopefully, the Hill would also read it and take this in consideration as they develop appropriations. Keep in mind, we're always talking about two parts to the budgeting process. One is the president's budget submission, and then how the Hill responds back to that with an appropriation. But this would document where the science needs are for ocean S&T over the next decade. So hopefully it provides guidance to both levels.
So along those lines, we have an additional question that says, will there be requests for basic research? Is there an emphasis on fieldwork, modeling? Do you think laboratory studies will be considered? Yes, 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 and yes. So that's exactly the sort of, in terms of basic research and basic technology and so on, fieldwork, modeling, laboratory studies. We're looking for the science questions and what are the different scales of science questions and how we can answer those science questions, whether it's a fieldwork modeling or lab study approach or degree of integration or what have you. We expect that the meat of the plan, certainly two-thirds or three-quarters of the plan, will be structured around the research priorities and activities oriented around the basic and applied research.
But keep in mind, this is not a budget request. So this isn't going to say we need $100 million to build another ship, for example. But it's going to identify what the research societal themes, goals, and activities are that the U.S. government needs to support over the next decade.
Ashley, it looks like you may have one question on your list.
Your next question comes from Robert Flodell. Your line is open.
Yes, hi. I'm representing the Mid-Atlantic Regional Planning Body, and we're happy to, first of all, we want to thank everyone for this webinar and this opportunity. And I know that the Northeast RPB is feeling the same way, and we're looking forward to submitting sort of a regional approach to overall high-level research areas. And I'm just wondering, what's the best way to do that? Is there a specific format, or is there a, should we just write a couple-page paper, or what do you think is the best way to do that?
My off-the-cuff answer on that is whatever works for you in terms of simplicity and structure. But I would think that if you go to the website, there is the ability to attach documents there, and there are also comments through the website will enable us to sort them and categorize them very easily. But I just want to emphasize the highest priority is making sure you feel you are able to accurately convey your message. So the first part is whatever works best for you and your team. But secondly, there's different ways to do it, and if you have questions about that, you can also follow up with us.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And this is a nuance that not everyone may realize. The SOST also provides scientific advice to the National Ocean Council and the regional planning body that was just discussed here for the Mid-Atlantic also aligns with the National Ocean Council. And it's great that we're going to get some comments from that because we're right now in the middle of an active conversation within NOAA about how we should align ourselves to provide the scientific support that the regional planning bodies need. So I look forward to those comments.
Thank you.
I am showing no further questions at this time.
Okay, so we don't have any further questions that's showing up. One last call for a last question.
We do have Nikki on the webinar asked, what would be the ideal sort of submission to help aid the plan's writers?
Brief and to the point.
Right.
But if you want to provide a 3 or 4 page white paper, that's cool too. Just make sure we just really want the comments.
Okay, so thank you again, everybody, for your time. And as a reminder, as we've said several times, this is really our first one. We can see you at conferences. We can take your input through the web, through the email, through future public comment periods after this one when we get to the plan itself. But we just need you to be engaged and involved, and we greatly appreciate the time you're putting into it. Hopefully a decadal plan informing several administrations into the future. And therefore, this is a very important thing for all of us. So thank you very much, and I think we will sign off at this point.
For joining
Have a good day, everybody.
And I'll see you all shortly.
Yes.
What was that, Ashley?
Thank you for joining today's conference call. You may disconnect at this time.